This is the talk of Music City Real Estate.
Welcome back to another episode of the Talk of Music City Real Estate,
where we educate and motivate all things real estate.
My name is Monty Moore with Realty One Group Music City.
Hi, and I'm Carrie Ann with CMG Financial and My Mortgage Team.
Every week we'll be posting a new episode chock full of Nashville real estate value.
Yes, and you can follow along and subscribe at talkmusiccity.com.
Got a question for us? Ask away at questions@talkmusiccity.com.
Monty.
Carrie Ann.
So good to see you.
Good to see you. And
we've got a guest.
We've got a really cool guest.
Yeah, we do. I'm excited. This is our second time we've had him on our schedule.
Yeah, this one's totally different than before. We talked about new construction before. You know, at 40 years in the business.
40 years.
40 years in the business. That's not just 40 years. That's 40 years of days and 40 years of nights, okay?
That's a long time.
So for 71 years old, I've been a licensed for about 80 years, it sounds like. But anyway, one thing I've learned over the years is those who are excellent at whatever they do,
right?
Most of them do it with a coach.
Yes.
Some level of coaching is required, some level of accountability, some level of interpretation of where you're at maybe, and some guidance along the way. Even at 40 years in the business, I still need that guidance, you know?
It's important.
And so that's why I asked Don Stanek here to join us today. Don is a coach. He's my coach, and I'm proud of that. Don, thank you for coaching me.
Welcome, Don.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to be here. And, you know, to your point, it doesn't really matter how long you've been in this business. I've been at it over 30 years, and I still have a coach. And not just for accountability, but for all sorts of things, all sorts of reasons around it. And we'll be talking about some of those reasons today.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about this, Don. I can't thank you enough. You know, you just helped us through a real big milestone in our own business. And it was your objectivity. It was your insight. It was your wisdom, your clarity that helped me step forward at a time that I wasn't sure what to do. And I was sharing with someone earlier today. I said, you know, I think there's some great coaches out there for real estate professionals. I think some awesome ones. Some of them have real estate experience. A lot of them don't. But it's still good. You know, it's a good thing to have an accountability partner or, you know, a coach, okay, to keep you on top of things. Because when things are happening, for sure, things are changing. But to have a coach with at your level, at a investment that, you know, for the whole year is like what a lot of these coaches charge. I think the temptation, I don't know. I mean, you tell me, but it seemed like the temptation. I know we're getting the cart ahead of the horse as far as what do you charge as a coach, but I really want to underline this because honestly, you take away the excuse of not having a coach for a real estate professional. I think you take it away because the value is so obvious.
Well, you would think that, but, you know, I've had this experience several times. And so recently, the most recently I had it was probably back around the holidays in December. I was in front of a large group of realtors. It was about 300, maybe 350. It was at a board meeting for a large board. And, you know, this topic came up, like, how do you identify a coach? Why do you need a coach? And so I asked for a show of hands. I said, hey, you know, just all honesty, put your hand up in the air if you think you could benefit from coaching. And the only people who didn't raise their hands were the ones who were like buried in their iPhone and didn't even realize somebody was talking.
Sure. Right.
But every other hand in the room went up, right? And I said, okay, keep your hands up. And I said, how many, show of hands, how many of you would actually consider pursuing it?
Right.
And almost every hand came down, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And so, and this is not a mystery to me. This has to do with a lot of different barriers to entry with regards to hiring a coach and finding a coach that's going to work well with you. And I'm actually of the opinion that the money is the least significant part of that. And I know there's some large national coaches that'll charge, you know, $1,200, $1,500 a month. And they say, well, money's no object. Money's no object. Well, money's an object to me, and I'm not paying $1,500. It's just all there is to it. But the bigger entry is, you know, there are people who pay $1,500 and maybe they get $20, $30, $50, $100,000 worth of benefit out of it, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't really find that money's the biggest obstacle. I find that the biggest obstacle to entry is kind of letting go of some of our fear and letting go of some of our past habits with regards to doing a little bit of self, you know, self-exploration. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is many of us, we get into this business and it's kind of trial by fire. You know, maybe we end up figuring it out with a coach, but most of us don't. What we do is we do what our manager tells us to do, or our first couple of transactions are friends and family, and we just kind of stumble into it, and then we find we have a knack for it, and we become self-directed problem solvers, right? We start solving our own problems.
Sure.
And this becomes it's very normal to get conditioned this way, because we also know in real estate that, let's be honest, you know, it's difficult for us to trust other agents. It's difficult for us to trust manager or leadership, difficult for us to trust our broker.
Right.
And at the end of the day, some of us get burned, right? Oh, well, you know, that person stole my lead. They stole my listing. Mm-hmm. And we start putting up these walls. And when it comes to troubleshooting our own problems, we don't like showing any kind of weakness around that. And because I know what I'm doing, I've been doing this for a while, I can figure this out, I just need to, you know, pull myself up by the bootstraps. All these things we tell ourselves, I think, are actually the biggest, obstacle to really, really getting in. It's that mindset wherein we feel like, okay, I am ready for growth. You know, I am ready for a plan. I'm ready for some kind of transition. And I'll tell you that most of the people, not all, but many of the people that end up on my doorstep, they're at probably a point of crisis where the old ways of doing things have just now totally and utterly failed. Mm-hmm. They're frustrated. They're having maybe financial problems. They might be having relationship problems, because let's be honest, if you're in this business, it's an all-consuming thing. You know, your family is just as much a part of this as the person who's actually doing the deals.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was probably doing, I don't know, so much million dollars of business, and this coach knocked on my door and I was like not having it, right? As in, what are you going to teach me that I don't already know? I'm already in the mortgage world successful, right? In that level.
Right.
And so it took a long time for me to humble myself and drop the ego enough too, because I think that's the other piece of it. You know, what are you going to tell me, you know, that I don't already know, et cetera. But as soon as I humbled myself, I dropped the ego and I welcomed just more ideas and strategies and organization and accountability. I mean, I just skyrocketed, you know, to levels that I never would have imagined ever, you know, would be available or I was even worthy of, you know, at the time. So a coach definitely can make a huge difference. And a coach in business, a coach in mental health, a coach in physical health, right? I mean, it's having those in all aspects of life, I think, are important. You know, when you're trying to do everything yourself, it's a lonely person just on the raft, you know, but having somebody to help you is it makes a difference for sure.
What I really enjoy about you, Don, is that you have been in the business a long time and you've got a perspective that is, you know, is, I think, you know, I compare it to, I try to tell the kids sometimes, you know, look, if you could see a perspective from a ladder, each step you go up, you see a broader perspective.
Right.
And at 71 years old, I see a little broader perspective, you know. But, you know, your perspective is not just in the wisdom of time of 30 years, but you have held some high-level positions. Can you cover that just briefly? Because, you know, I always come back to people have to believe the messenger before the message matters. Sure. Yes, I'm endorsing you 1,000%. Okay. You are my coach. You're the only coach I have right now. I'm grateful for that. You have come, you know, have been so helpful, instrumental in our, the growth of our company in the last several months that I can't say enough about. That's why I wanted to bring you on here, because I think there's other people that will watch this and say, you know, this is an affordable coach. let me give it 6 months to a year and see if that's this person doesn't change my business. But anyhow, before we get down that path, tell us a little bit about your history so that people can believe the messenger, so the message matters.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the four. That's one of the four things you should investigate when it comes time for you to find a coach. And so, you know, what is this person's credibility, or what is their experience level? Not just their experience level in the business per se, but what's their experience level with engaging people to help grow their business? One of the things that's bothered me in the past is, you know, I can see somebody with a big resume, but they also come with poor communication skills and maybe a big ego. So I feel like every bit of success I've ever gotten in my life has come from God's grace, quite honestly. And I've been very fortunate at a young age to get my license when I was 23 years old. I was still in the Marine Corps. My first year in the business was, I was 23, you know, 30 some odd years ago. And my first year, I did $127,000 in GCI. And I did that only because I did exactly what my manager told me to do. Mm-hmm. So I was a producer for a period of time. I actually ended up going back to the first Gulf War. the year after I was licensed, I was still in the Marine Corps. And so I served in the first Gulf War, came back and didn't really know what I wanted to do. My head was spinning a little bit. And so I started working for home builders. And so probably about half of my, a little more than half of my 30-year experience has been at the executive level with some of the top builders across the country, like Centex Homes, Kaufman & Broad, Lennar, Richmond America, Standard Pacific, D.R. Horton. And so functioned at an executive level in all those organizations. I started my own brokerage in 2005. I've also managed a Christie's International franchise in Southern California, managed a Remax in Des Moines, of all places, had over 500 agents. So all in, over my 30-some-odd years, I think I've probably done the math. I imagine I've probably done about $3.5 billion in transaction volume that I've either wrote or have managed and overseen. I think about $1.5 billion of that is me actually putting a pen to paper. Mm-hmm. So I learned fairly early in my management tenure that I was only going to be able to help people who really wanted help, and I was only going to be able to help them if they could relate to me. And so sometimes my resume gets in the way because it's too, right, like things, it just doesn't
intimidating
fit, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, great, Mr. Big Shot, what are you going to do? But I firmly believe that what I do for a living is connect with one person at a time. And I've always felt that way. And I've also felt that the reason I've had so much success in real estate is the same reason why my coaching works. And that is, I connect with one person at a time.
Right.
I focus on where you are with what you need. And, you know, what is it that you need to do? What is it that you need to accomplish? So, you know, one of those things absolutely is credibility. I think another big thing that you should look for in a coach is they should have some kind of a process or a method. I think there's a lot of folks out there that are in coaching and they kind of fall into two categories. They're in a highly regimented program like the Tom Ferries of the world, right? So very prescribed, very prescriptive. Here's the lessons. You're going to learn the lessons. And part of the issue that I have with that is not everybody's going to learn like that.
Right.
I find that the people I coach are most interested in learning what they need to learn when they need to learn it.
Right.
And so if you find a coach, make sure they've got a process. Make sure that process is flexible. There has to be flexibility in it to accommodate you. You're the client, right? You're the one paying the bill. And you're the one, more so than spending money on me, you're committing time. And your time is more valuable than my fee, I guarantee it. And so that flexibility has to also be, you know, sustainable, and not just, it's got to be affordable, it's got to be flexible. You have to have accessibility to that coach. So as you're thinking, as people are thinking about trying to identify a coach, for goodness sakes, you know, I'll distribute this simple list of questions. There's probably 10, 5 or 10 questions that you really need to ask because, Monty, a lot of this is personality driven, right? There has to be a system and a process and a method. It has to be clear. There has to be clear expectations. But if you don't like the, if you don't like your coach, if you can't relate to your coach, if your coach doesn't communicate in a way that's in alignment with what you're looking for, it's just not going to work.
Sure.
And I try to go out of my way to eliminate any reason or any excuse for success, right? And so money is one of them. You know, my experience level helps because there's very few situations that someone could talk to me about that I've not already been through at least once, if not more. But I can't stress the importance of that, that personality. You have to connect with this person. They have to be empathetic and they have to be, they have to be client advocate focused. They have to be an, your advocate. What do we need to do to take care of what you need done this week? You know? So,
and I would assume too, that a lot of folks need different type of coaching, right? So maybe there's a level of, you know, lead generation coaching, there's scripting, there's balancing of your day, you know, there's multiple different, you know, aspects I think that come together to make people super successful. And just the accountability piece, you know, give me 20 more type of thing, you know, like, come on, you got this in you. And just a reminder of a belief system. Sometimes we lose track of who we are. Like we lose the belief within ourselves, right? This market is not easy. And the and you've been in it 40 years, you know, I 20 plus, it's just, it's, there's ups and downs, you know, and, and really being able to stay in the mental game sometimes is hard when you are by yourself as well, you know? And so many people got out, we look at in the lending world, I mean, half our industry left over the last year, you know, in real estate, there's so many people left as well. Now some of those are folks that should never have been in it anyways, you know, and it was a hobby, not a business. But there are some people that, you know, just, they just weren't able to make it. And I think if they held someone's hand per se, right, and got a little bit of encouragement and got back in the game or, you know, jumped back on the wagon and just did those actionable activities, you know, money-making activities, they should definitely have, you know, kept it going successfully.
So yeah, I think that's a great, it's a great word. I mean, so where is that, where does that sustainable effort come from? Like, I coach a lot of agents who have peaks and valleys and peaks and valleys, and they'll have a really good couple of months and, you know, and all of a sudden they have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in checking. You're like, oh, well, that's all taken care of.
Right.
Like, well, and then, you know, a month goes by and they don't do anything. And then they start feeling this pressure and this gripping thing. I think that, one of the things that I really like, one of the gospels I preach is even flow production. Like, no matter how exciting it is to get a bunch of listings, no matter how exciting it is to be able to do a bunch of business, my question is, and you hit it, Carrie Ann, you said, what are those money making activities that you have to have a real disciplined approach to deal with every week, like prospecting and follow up? And you know, there was, I remember very clearly a time when I had over 75 pending under contract in escrow, and I had a transaction coordinator, but at the end of the day, you know, I had people calling me all the time and asking me all these, you know, where's the washer, where's the dryer, where's the inspection report? I got to meet with the lender. The appraisal didn't come in. Like, take me out of here. And I remember talking to my coach at that time, and I'm there like crying the blues, right? He goes, well, first off, you know, in 45 days, you're going to have a chunk of money in the bank. So I'm not feeling too sorry for you. But number two, I don't care how many deals you currently have under contract. That's not relevant to me.
Right.
He said, the only thing I track is who's going to transact with you in the next 90 and 180 days. And every time I dealt with my coach, that's all my coach would press me on. Who do you have in your database currently that's going to transact in the next 6 months? And do they remember who you are? Are you connecting with that person enough so that when it comes time for them to transact, they're going to remember you? Or are they going to stumble into somebody's open house and put you in the dust. And it, let me tell you, the accountability on that was incredibly frustrating because I was measuring my success with my own ego about what's happening today. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to have to make those phone calls. In fact, I didn't even want to have a relationship with those people in the future because there was barely enough of me to go around in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I supposed to spread myself even thinner to go into the future, right? And that's when I really started to leverage a team. That's when I really found the benefit in handing deals off to other people for a referral fee and really scaling my business. And that's when I went from being a producer really to being a leader. And I never would have got there had it not been for my coach literally just asking me the simplest of questions that was so offending to me. And that's when I knew it. That's when I knew I had to pay attention. When I start getting offended over something, that's when I know I really have to pay attention because someone's hitting a button and I'm not aware of what it is. So,
you know, talking about coaching, Jason Kelsey just retired recently. You know, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's been in the news because, he's the brother to the other gentleman who's dating the Taylor Swift, right? However, about his retirement speech. Started with his coaches, thanking his coaches from high school, okay? And that helped shape him to who he was to get him to college, right? And then he thanked the coaches in college. It was quite a moving speech, very well written, very well spoken. And you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, you know? And they see so much more sometimes in us than when we look in the mirror, you know, we can't see it. You know, I just recently watched the movie A Million Miles Away, the speaker I got to see in a recently in Miami, Jose Hernandez. He was the first gentleman or the gentleman who went from migrant worker to astronaut. He had a teacher back in the day, second grade teacher, Miss Young. I still remember her name because it was quite moving. And it was somebody who believed in him so much when nobody else believed in him. And his dad had kept taking him back to Mexico. And the teacher says, you know, if I was to give you a tree and if you were able to replant that tree over and over and over again, would that tree grow strong? Would that tree, you know, have the roots to be able to be something super successful, you know, from a tree standpoint? And, you know, clearly not, right? And so that's where the father decided not to keep going back to Mexico and stay put and really build, you know, roots and strength for his kid. And look at him now. I mean, he's an astronaut and amazing and all the things. But that is what a good coach does, right? And a good teacher, you know, somebody who can see your strengths when you are blinded by them and really allow them to shine even brighter, you know, for future growth. So there's so much that goes into teaming up with an amazing coach. And it sounds like you found your person.
I think sometimes agents get a little bit, I think the whole vocabulary around coaching gets a little muddled because, like there's trainers and then a coach and a mentor. I actually like to kind of call myself an advocate, only to make things more confusing. You know, and sure. So by definition, a trainer is going to teach you how to do something you cannot do.
Right.
A coach is going to like help you master and perfect that. A mentor is someone who's probably got a much deeper emotional connection to the outcome of your success. And that's why that connection is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Because most of the people that I start helping, I start training them in some very basic things that they just didn't pick up along the way. Even though they've been in the business 10, 15 years, they avoided that thing, that one or two things that they should have done on day one. Right. Mm-hmm. And somehow they were able to get past it and still perform. So just for example, I teach a lot of people around database administration. I teach a lot of people around time management. And these are two skills that, we're supposed to mentor, we're supposed to master very early in our careers. But I'll tell you, very few realtors actually do. Mm-hmm. And it's the number one biggest thing that's going to hold an agent back. If you're an agent within the sound of my voice right now, I'm telling you, there's two things. Get serious about your database. Get serious about your calendar. And if you need help with that, my gosh, get on my calendar. You know, Imani will tell you, I'm more than happy. I'll help you for free. Like, it's not about, it's about you finding breakthrough. You know what I mean? And so, so just those two basic things. So a trainer, and like I said, mentor is someone that takes you to mastery, and there's more of like a connection associated with it. I think all too often what happens, someone's going to sign up for coaching and there's some coach or some guys on the other line. Oh, we're going to do this and this, we're going to take you to the moon and you're going to get all the leads and the leads are going to be free and you're going to sprout wings and fly around the room and like, and all this crazy talk. And on day one, you're like, one, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't know what the intention of this is. And what am I buying? What the heck am I buying here? So I would tell you, if you're out there and you're looking for a coach, I would probably only even think about working with that coach if that person agreed to work with me for at least 2 weeks or a month for free, quite honestly. And I wholeheartedly mean that because
I bet that narrows down the pack pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think.
Well, it does, but here's the
coach
thing,
is
Monty,
available, is what I'm saying.
If I said, "Hey, I'm going to help you for free," your spidey senses immediately are suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Right? What's the catch? And then the worst part.
Here's the catch. It's not like some big psychology. Here's the catch. You're going to have to face your own transformation. And it's going to be difficult and it might even be uncomfortable. It might be painful. Right now I'll be there every step of the way and help you do that. But the real issue here isn't what's the catch. The real issue is, oh my gosh, I have to look at the man in the mirror and I have to fundamentally make an agreement to make a change with that person. And oh my gosh, that can be some very heavy lifting for people. Very heavy lifting. Mm-hmm.
They have to be ready for it. Wow. Absolutely. I think that's the hardest part. That's true. I remember I hired a coach, very expensive, because I was ready to go to the next level. But I wasn't ready for that, meaning I paid the money and I wasn't able to be mentally in it with him to a point where he was just talking over my head because I had so much else going on in my world. I wasn't comprehending what he was even saying. I just was like, yeah, is the 45 minutes, you know, up, because I felt obligated, right, you know, to be present because I paid the money. I wasn't ready for that, right? So when you are doing your coaching, it is key to be prepared, right? I mean, you want to really be engaged. You want to be present. You want to take this, you know, in a way that you can't be doing four things at one time, because you're just not going to be able to comprehend all the things that, you know, that individual is teaching. The other thing I'll say is the word coach has got a bad rap. You know, it's similar to LO, you know, there's 7,000 of them out there in the world. And then there's also, you know, coaches. And so for me, I've always been one that does need an intimidating resume, because if you have not done what I want to do, how can you coach me, you know, in getting there, right? There's a lot of people in my industry that were successful in quotations 20 years ago, you know, and still trying to sell that same recipe 20 years ago. You and I both know that what got us here won't get us there. You know, there's new strategies, you know, there's new things that come into play. So I do think, you know, for me, I always said I was never going to coach anybody until I hit a certain threshold, because I didn't think I was worthy to share the recipe, you know, with another until I, you know, hit through that. And I'm blessed to be able to right now just make a difference for other people within my own industry as well, just by saying, hey, you know, I've baked this cake so many times, like you. I baked this cake, you know, here's the recipe to this amazing cake, you know, type of thing. And for some people to immediately demand money, they offer to give me money. And I said, you know, all that I would want right now is a great testimonial on, you know, you've made a difference and your business has, you know, flourished through what we've talked about. But that is what's key, I think, to finding a good team member, which I do consider a coach, you know, is somebody that's really going to be engaging and really want to be part of something bigger. They want to see you succeed. It's just not taking, you know, your credit card information and hopeful. They really are one with your success. And I think you do a great job with that, with what Bonnie has been sharing.
So Don, did you know between the three of us here, we've got, I just did the math. I think
175 years of experience.
I think it's 90 years.
Yeah.
90 years of experience here for anybody watching. 90 years of experience of saying, hey, coach is such a valuable investment to start with. But just dawned on me, that's 90 years of a lot of experience. But hey, I wanted to get back to your describing who you primarily are, Don. You mentioned the word advocate, didn't you?
Yeah.
So tell us about, help us understand the advocacy versus, I mean, the trainer, the coach, the mentor. Is that a combination, so, advocate, a combination?
The short answer, it's kind of all those things in a nutshell, but I also implore some very simple methodology around identifying what your strengths and weaknesses are very quickly. And then what we do is we just focus on those strengths. One of the things Carrie Ann said, well, you know, I paid all this money to this coach, and then I felt obligated to be engaged because I spent the money and I got all these other things on my mind for 45 minutes. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure she spent several hundred dollars for 45 minutes and maybe got something out of it and maybe didn't. So part of my being an advocate is this person today, is this person in a place where they can hear me?
Right. Key. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me today? And so, because I've been a producer and I've had to deal with the chaos and I've been a team leader and a branch owner and all yada, 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 like I know what it looks like when you have an extreme amount of pressure and you've got clients yelling at you and you've got, your personal relationship is, you know, maybe out of control or whatever it is. So one of the things that I frame advocacy around is, what does this person need from me today? What is this? So it's not about my plan, right? So if I'm coaching Carrie Ann around, hey, you know what, we're going to talk about alternative financing products and how you have to be an expert on that and yada, yada, yada. And so, but first I have to understand, can she hear me? Is this, you know, so I start every session the same way. I'll say, Carrie Ann, help me understand, what do you need from me today? What do you need from me this week? Right. And so depending on what that answer is going to depend on if I'm a coach, if I'm a mentor, or if I'm a trainer, right? Because sometimes I'll ask the question, I'll say, Mr. Smith, what do you need from me today, right? And the guy, you know, breaks down in tears and he says, I'm a mess and, you know, my wife's going to leave me and the dog just, you know, peed on the floor, or all the things that come along with just being a human. Now, I'm not a counselor. However, I am going to offer some really simple advice. I'll say, you know what? I don't want you to work today. I want you to take today off. And I want you to block out the next 2 days in your calendar. And I want you to spend some time with your wife. Now, you don't have to have a counseling degree to make that recommendation. But I know that this person's currently in a state of mind that no matter what I tell them about business, it's not going to be applied.
Sure.
And I don't like to tell people or share advice with people unless I can get them accountable to go do something about it before the next time we talk. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of my method. My method is, we talk about something, we establish a small goal, and then I'm going to follow up with you 2, 3, 4 times in the next few weeks just to make sure you've achieved it. So so my advocacy or my program is really based on where is this person in the moment? What can they do today to make their own situation better? Some days the best thing you can do is just get out of bed and get in the shower and you're way ahead, right? And some days it feels like you can take on the world. And then being able to measure my response to that, because I also know as I spend a lot of time with certain clients, I know they're testing me. They're testing my limits, right? They do it on purpose. Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And so, you know, I take extensive notes in a session. And so I'll say, well, you know, 2 weeks ago, you mentioned to me that you wanted to be able to, you know, you needed 3 more transactions before the end of the third quarter, because, you know, your daughter needs tuition for UCLA. So are you, you know, I appreciate the fact that you don't want me to talk about this, but are you really okay? You know? And so I probably offer, I try to offer as much accountability in the kindest possible way, because none of us want to be reminded of the hard work that we still need to do. But all of us need to be reminded that there's a lot of hard work and you still have to do it.
And I think you hit it on the nose with personalities, right? So for me, yeah. I don't strive unless you're pushing harder type of thing, because I'm a D right. personality. So I need somebody to demand more out of me, right? And so when there is a passiveness, I could push you right over and I'm like, you know, this was a waste. So, but I realized too that my personality is so strong. When I was coaching some people, they were crying and I was like, oh, why are you crying? Oh my goodness, stop crying. There's, you know, no crying in baseball type of thing. And I quickly realized that, you know, I'm not for everybody, right? That is okay, right? When you find your people, and also people giggle because they want to be like some of the top leaders, but they don't want to do certain things that require you to be top leader. It does take hard work, right? It does take the accountability of a 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and the tempo, right? There's only the same amount of time as in your day, as in my day, as in your day, everybody's day. And so we have to be able to, you know, figure that piece out. And so I do think it is key to, as somebody's interviewing a coach, to ask them. I mean, I don't see a reason why you can't see, you know, how they... what is their personality rollout? You know, how do you handle this person versus that person and that personality, et cetera? If you start talking about blue sky, you lost me, because there's no fluff in my world. It's two words and we, you know, get to the point. But
I appreciate you bringing that up. And I asked that in one of my intake questions. So I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so what I usually say to someone is like, look, I was in the Marines for 6 years. If you want, I can scream at you until you get something done. And I will guarantee you get it done, because I will scream at you until it happens. Mm-hmm. However, if you're not going to respond well to that, it's not what I prefer, because it takes a heck of a lot more energy.
Right.
Right. So it's no different than, let's say I'm going through a buyer interview. And one of the questions I ask my buyer prospect is, Mr. Smith, help me understand how you need me to communicate with you. Do you want me to communicate by exception?
Yeah.
Do you like firm, do you like the honest, firm truth on the end of a 2x4? You need me to sell it a little bit? What works good for you? And he goes, well, sell it a little bit, but hit me with a 2x4. I'm like, got it. And what I'm really doing at that point is I'm asking for permission.
Yeah.
I'm setting up the expectation that, these are some ground rules of, like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be direct. I'll try to be as pleasant as I can. But sometimes I can also be very aggressive, and it might be off-putting. And much like the same situation you had, you know, you make people cry, Carrie, and it's terrible.
Happened once, you know, and I don't think I ever coached individually again.
Well, earlier in my career, when I was a young leader, I was out there swinging for the fences like I was still in the Marine Corps. The louder I got with people that were non-responsive, it didn't help.
Right, exactly. It didn't work. Yeah. I think that's important. But I think kind of making a full circle, you know, having someone in your corner that will help you go to the next level, if you want that, right? Not everybody wants to go to the next level. So this is the year of you versus you. Do you for you. You know, looking at the real estate agents watching us today, you know, having a great coach. And then really, like you said, decide if that person's a trainer, you know, a coach or a mentor and or an advocate. I love that breakdown, because then you can actually see, oh, they're teaching me about, you know, this particular, you know, open house, how to do an open house. This person's, you know, helping me with business growth, right? Like, so there's multiple different levels there. I think it is so key, and looking for a great coach, Monty, you definitely think Don is the one. So.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of coaches over the years, to be honest with you, because I do believe in coaching. I do believe in accountability. I do believe in somebody, you know, holding my feet to the fire, I guess. I'm ID personality as well, but I also recognize that every sports, you know, figure that's ever been done anything, they had multiple coaches. And so, has always had multiple coaches typically. But what I got burned out on years ago was, it seemed like I was, you know, being put in a cookie cutter type system, and, you know, for $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month or whatever it was. And pretty soon you buy the friend of the package, But then when you get the package open, it's realized, well, gee, I don't feel like I'm getting my money's worth here. You know, it starts bugging you after a while. And so you hang in there because, well, next month's going to be better. I want to give them a benefit of the doubt. Actually, they really have a great leader, and he was really impressive on the stage, because that's what a lot of times is happening when they're bringing people into a free conference, is to sign people up for a coaching deal. And I'm okay with
it. It's like a bad timeshare. Bad timeshare presentation.
And I've fallen for it many times because they know all the buttons to hit, you know, and we know if we write that check, it's all going to fall out of the sky on top of us, and it doesn't work that way. And so by month 4 or 5 or 6, you're saying, you know, I don't think I have a good fit here. And then they'll drag their feet for another 30 to 60 days before they'll let you out because, you know, whatever, you know, but you have to have an exit interview or whatever, you know. But my point is,
just like AT&T won't let you get rid of that phone number. I was like, sir,
oh my God,
you've sold me on the idea of how I should keep this number 27,000 times. I'm telling you, I need to get off this telephone. I need to delete the phone number.
So Don, when I heard what you charged, I was concerned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have a company here with Realty One Group that we're 100% commission office. We pay 100, right, our agents 100% of their commission minus a small transaction fee. And when we first opened up, there was other, you know, the conventional companies making fun of us. Well, you get what you pay for. Sure. And there's got to be a catch to it. And you probably can never get a hold of the broker and all this kind of stuff, you know, which I immediately set out to prove wrong and right, have, you know, we're doing. And but when I heard that you charge a little less than $100, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I'll bite, because our first couple of encounters were impressive, and I'm not easily impressed, honestly. After batting this thing around for, you know, personally sold over 3,000 homes, I haven't done a billion and a half. I've done over a billion, but keep in mind, my starting price was $64,000. It takes a lot of more of right, those to add up.
That's an excellent point.
Anyhow, my point is, I was so grateful that you got my attention, and then I tried, you know, dialed in, because I'd kind of got turned off, to be honest with you, about the whole coaching thing. Not that I'm not coachable. God knows I'm coachable. I'm a voracious reader. I try to read a book a week. You know, I'm an information junkie to some respect. But the point is, I have been so grateful for the encounter and the commitment here between us, because you helped me through one of the toughest times of my life, and I've been through 3 divorces, dude. So when I say toughest times, this whole consolidation of offices and remaining strong and being confident in the whole thing, had you not taken me by the hand and walked me through that, may still be stuck back there, you know. But you were very direct, very real. Why are you doing this, Monty? You're creating, and anyhow, I don't need to go into the details of it. I just know that I love your system, because not only are you speaking of from a place of authority because of your 30 years in the industry and such a perspective of that, you know, authority, but you're there to meet that need at that moment, whatever that need at that moment is. What can I do for you today? And you allow me to set the schedule when I need you, okay?
Yeah.
And I love that. There's, you know, maybe it will go a month without talking, but then maybe we'll go a month with talking 2 or 3 times. But you know, right. I know it's kind of a silly way to relate it, but years ago I bought a boat. I loved that boat. In the first month I used that boat all the time, and then that boat hung there right, for a while, but I knew I could get to that boat anytime I needed it. And I found a certain amount of joy in the fact that I've got a boat there. I can go out and cruise, but I'm going to work today instead. I can go out and cruise.
Right.
I've got a coach. I mean, a master in all things real estate, from my perspective, you know, I think it's pretty qualified, available for $100 a month or 99, whatever the fee is. But here's the challenge that, how do you overcome this? This is my question, I guess, a long ways around it, is how do you keep people from equating the value to the cost? Because sometimes what I see here, and I'm sorry for not finishing that thought, I see people not assume that we're not providing everything because we are 100% office. Do you get, right, do people Would people be paying more attention to your effort if you were charging $1,000 a month like so many other people who don't bring as what you do to the table? How do you overcome that?
Yeah, I think there's probably a certain percentage of people that get impressed with a Rolex watch, you know? And it's like Carrie Ann said, it's personality driven. Oh, well, he's got this fancy car and he's got this fancy suit and he's got this fancy. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be fancy expensive and I'm going to get something out of it. But if you'll allow me, I'll take 3 minutes and I'm going to walk you through my pricing structure and why I don't think any coach should charge more than what I charge. And I can prove it.
Awesome. Prove away.
So you own a branch, you own a franchise, right? Mm-hmm. And so let's not worry about the model of the franchise or if it's got a big balloon as the logo or if it's got a big circle or like, you know, a big C with a 21. Here's the deal. There's certain realities with running a branch and there are certain financial realities when it comes to running a branch. And so agents want more and more and they want to pay less and less for it. And there's a lot of people in town that'll promise them the world and give them nothing and not charge them very much. And then there's other people will just charge them through the nose and still not provide,
right.
Still not provide very much.
Right.
And I think we know like some of the 80-20 shops or the 50-50 shops out there are doing it. Mm-hmm. So when I take a look at branch financials, and if I had a branch and I was going to hire a sales manager, here's how I budget that. I'm going to give that person basically a salary of between $1,500 and $2,000 per year per agent. Okay, per year per agent. So, so let's say I've got 100 people in my office. I should be paying, you know, my sales manager should make it about $120,000 to $150,000 a year, somewhere right around in there. Now, there might be bonuses and stretch bonuses and this and that. All right. So if I'm charging someone basically $100 a month, I'm basically charging them $1,200 a year, which is exactly what I'd be getting paid if I was running a branch as a branch manager. Hmm. Now, here's the thing. The branch manager has got a lot of other requirements that I don't have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So all I have to deal with is agent productivity. Whereas the average branch manager has to do hiring and recruiting and agent productivity, and they've got to make sure there's toilet paper in the bathroom, and they're caught up in transaction nightmare, mm-hmm. usually, because if you got 100 agents, you know, hopefully they're all doing at least 2 deals a month, right? So you got 3,000, 4,000 transactions that you're dealing with. There's dispute resolution. You have to go to the board. Like there's all these other requirements. So all I've done, quite honestly, is just taken the piece that I love to do in the branch and created an independent contractor. So technically I'm like I'm an independent branch manager mm-hmm. who deals with productivity. I just don't deal with the other aspects of branch management. And so for that, I get compensated actually on the lower scale of what a branch manager should probably be making. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense.
I mean, so if you look at these coaches that say, well, I'm going to charge you $1,000. I'm going to charge you, you know, $15,000 a year. And you're only going to survive a month and a half. And then I'm going to have to sue you for the rest of it. Like they're not making any more money than I'm making. Mm-hmm. I'm just being more friendly about it.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. This was good. Good information. What do you think, Monty?
Yeah. How do people get a hold of you, Don, real quick?
Well, they could just Google my name. I'm Don, you know, donstanek.com is my website. It's Don Stanek or donaldstanek.com or Reagile Coach. All roads lead to Rome.
There you go. And Stanek is S-T-A-N-E-K. S-T-A-N-E-K.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yep. S-T-A-N-E-K. And it's, you know, really simple. If you want to talk to me, I'm the simplest guy on the planet. Just go to my website, go to my landing page and book 15 minutes. And so I still have availability and capacity. I currently have about 195 individual coaching clients across the country. And so someone will say, oh, my God, how do you do that? Well, because here's the thing. Some of those people I talk to every week, and some of those people maybe only talk to me once a month.
Sure.
But also the system and the process that I have people in is we're going to talk about something, and then I'm going to follow up with you either by text, by email, or by voicemail twice a week. And so if, you know, quite honestly, if somebody wanted to get on my calendar three times a week, I would still allow that. I don't have a limit. If you want to put up with me, get on my calendar.
There you go. Well, this is
because
so
all
good,
the only thing I sell is really is accountability, right?
Yeah.
So if you want me to tell you to do something three times this week, for God's sakes, get on my calendar. I'll be happy to tell you.
I love it.
I love it too. Don, thank you very much for agreeing to come on here today. I hope everybody considers if you want to coach, Don can take you to another level. He's taken me to a whole other level, and I'm
take
so
the time to know you're worthy of a coach, and you can definitely go to the next level. So, thank you all for joining us. You've been listening to the Talk of Music City Real Estate.